It's time for the Ron and Brian podcast. Get ready to fill your ears with the latest news, politics, current events, and whatever else we feel like talking about this week. And now, your hosts, Ron and Brian.
Hello and welcome, everybody. Once again, it is Sunday night. It is time for the Ron and Brian podcast, episode 168 to be exact. I'm Ron, joined by my best friend, Brian. Brian, how are you doing this evening, sir?
Doing all right, Ron. How you doing?
All right. I'm doing all right. Yeah.
Are you ready to slide into this week starting tomorrow morning? But it's not over yet. This weekend, we still have another couple hours, and you're going to spend it with us for the next 60 minutes right here on the Ron and Brian podcast.
All right. You're breaking out the DJ voice. I like it. All right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I see you have switched up your headphones. Not having the big headphones anymore. It looks like you got some earbuds there.
The big headphones were I would say they were probably about 4 years old. Worked perfectly, but it got to the point where the inner padding was starting to rip off.
Right.
So every time I would take them off at the end of the show, I would have to like shed over a sink because I'd have little bits of whatever the material was stuck to my ear. So I knocked out these nuggets. Still hear you in crystal clear stereo. It's a beautiful thing.
What is
this scroll on the bottom of the screen?
Is just a reminder for those of you that listened last week. We put a mandate into place that we will be requiring all of our listeners and viewers to be vaccinated in order to continue enjoying the Ron and Brian podcast as of Sunday, September 12th. So we will be popping this reminder up on a weekly basis just so everyone can, you know, have the amount of time to get the first shot and the second shot prior to September 12th. Of course, we have a lot of COVID news to get to as we get into the show. Brian, you have something?
Yeah, a friend of the podcast reached out this week and said they pointed out something which I'm not sure that there's a way out of this. I'm not sure that there is a solution here that will make all parties happy. Okay. They pointed out that from the time that we announced that we would be putting in this vaccination policy for all people that listen to the podcast, we allowed an exact 4 weeks, which gave people enough to get both shots to become fully vaccinated. For those people that missed the show last week, missed their opportunity, are just seeing now for the first time that on Sunday, September 12th, the only way you'll be allowed and able to listen to this podcast is by being fully vaccinated. By missing out that window, the start of the four-week window, we are pushing people towards the Johnson & Johnson one-shot-only vaccine, which you and I have spoken about more than enough times over the past 6 months, that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is it's not even the bronze level of vaccines. It's the shit standard, if you would. Now, you rank them. Moderna, correct?
Moderna, number one.
Gold standard. Pfizer.
Two, right?
China.
China. AstraZeneca, Russia, and then J&J last.
Right.
I would be willing to say if someone gets Moderna or even Pfizer, if you have the first shot and are scheduled for your second shot by the 12th, I would allow those individuals to continue. But if not, you know, if you don't follow up and get that second shot, then we have to shut it down.
And that's why you are chairman of the board, because when this was brought to my attention over the course of the week, I was stumped. I did not have a solution. However, you just immediately came up with an environment where it's inclusive to as many people as possible. Kudos to you, Ron.
Thank you, sir. All right. Well, let's get things rolling along here with Drink of the Week.
Drink of the Week.
Na zdrowie.
Salud.
Drink of the Week.
Sláinte.
Prost.
Drink of the Week. Drink of the Week. Drink of the Week.
All right, Brian, what are you drinking this week?
You know that our friends from Ross Brewing love the show, and because of that, we love their beer. They sent over to me a 4-pack of what they're referring to as their Twists of Fate. It is a sour IPA. That's right, a sour IPA. Ron, it's the first sour IPA, brewed with pale wheat and oats in a grain bill, then hopped with Citra and Mosaic in a whirlpool with dry hop, and then the beer is bursting with flavor. They took it a step further by conditioning it with over 400 pounds of pink guava and mango.
Guava.
Coming in at 7.2 ABV, 3.5 on Beer Advocate. Here is from Ross Brewing, Twist of Fate, Sour IPA.
It's interesting. I've seen sour ales. Obviously, this is the first sour IPA I have seen. Pink guava, mango. You look impressed. You look like it's good.
It's got the hoppiness of an IPA, but there is that sour. It's not an overt sour.
Good.
It is actually what I would a sour IPA. I would recommend this here.
All right. Very nice. Very nice.
Ron, may I ask you a question?
Always, my friend.
What are you drinking?
Well, you know, Brian, it's hot out there. I don't know what it's like where you are, but where I am, it's been hot this week. So I went with an old standard of mine for summertime drinking. I went with Schafferhofer this week, which is, I mean, it's more grapefruit soda with a touch of beer. It's a Hefeweizen in there. It clocks in low. It's only about a 3.4%. This is one I've had before. It is fantastic.
Would you describe it as a crushable vacation beer?
Oh, this is very much if you want to just sit on your back deck or sit on the beach down by Atlantic City and just drink beer after beer after beer, Schafferhofer, that is your drink. So I'll be putting that down throughout the night. Keeping cool.
How many of those do you have right now in your beer refrigerator?
I have 3 remaining, and we'll see if they make it through the night.
I hope that they don't, because if they do not and you knock them out during the course of this podcast, I'm going to say that we are going to have a great After Dark episode tonight behind the paywall over on Patreon.
I mean, again, it's only a 3.4. So even if I drank the 4, I'm probably not.
That's like a 12. That's like a 12.13, correct?
It adds up. The math checks out.
And it does. Of course it does.
All right. Coming in next, we've got This Week in Racism.
This
week
in
Racism.
Even though I was on vacation this week, Brian, I still managed to put together 2 full pages of racism. Fuck. Again,
America.
I'm going to try and keep this to a tight 10. So please start the clock now. An Ohio court recently showed how the justice system differs for blacks and whites. Former Chagrin Falls, Ohio village clerk Debbie Barsworth pled no contest to 22 counts of theft in office, tampering with records and money laundering after auditors discovered she had embezzled more than $238,000 over the span of 20 years. Despite prosecutors asking for prison time, Cuyahoga County Common Pleas Court Judge Holly Gallagher sentenced Bosworth, who is white, to 2 years probation. The next day, in the same courtroom, 51-year-old former school secretary Carla Hopkins, who is black, was sentenced for pleading guilty to only 1 count of theft in office for stealing $40,000 from Maple Heights High School. Judge Rick Bell sentenced her to 18 months in prison. 6 months more than prosecutors had asked for. Atlanta parent Kyla Posey has filed a federal complaint against her child's elementary school, claiming that it segregated children by race. According to Posey, Mary Lynn Elementary School placed black students in 2 separate classes with 2 separate teachers, and the white kids were placed in 6 classes with 6 different teachers. Posey said she spoke with the school's principal, Sharon Briscoe, who is also black, who said she believed the practice was in the best interest of the students. She has filed a complaint with the Department of Education, which is investigating the matter. Michael Anthony Gallagher, a 71-year-old man from California, has been charged by federal prosecutors with allegedly mailing U.S. Representative Maxine Waters threatening communications in 2019. Gallagher allegedly signed it from the KKK. Gallagher reportedly sent Walt Waters a postcard that used slurs directed at the Latinx community, ending with, quote, "We will successfully put a bullet through your head, KKK." He faces up to 10 years in prison if convicted. An Asian, yes, sir.
Is it possible that he didn't mean the Ku Klux Klan, but he was just like repeating, like he had a stutter and he was saying K, like, okay. And then like, he just kept, he was like, K.
The courts will have to decide that.
All right. I'm just, you know me, I like to see the best in people.
Devil's advocate. I get it. An Asian American homeowner said that a black contractor she hired to renovate her home reported that a noose was hanging from a tree in her yard. Julia Ho had owned the home for nearly 5 years and was out of town when the incident happened. The contractor contacted the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department immediately after finding the noose. An investigation is ongoing. An investigation is also underway in Chicago after a man who appeared to be a city employee pulled a Northside family's Black Lives Matter yard sign out of the ground and turned it face down. A security camera showed the man, who was wearing a safety vest, tape a no parking sign to a tree before he walked onto the family's property, pulled out their yard sign, and carried on with his business. The city's water department had workers in the area at that time and is now investigating to see if the man was one of their employees. A 20-year-old white man was arrested Thursday after posting a video of himself defacing a memorial for Jermel Madison, a black man who died after attempting suicide last month while in custody at the Clackamas County, Oregon jail. The video showed Colin Michael Williams kicking over candles, pictures, flowers, and signs at the memorial. Oregon City Police said that Williams, who worked as a surveyor for Clackamas County, also spray-painted a swastika on the sidewalk next to the memorial. CBS affiliate KOIN-TV reports that Williams admitted to vandalizing the memorial and, according to prosecutors, has displayed a, quote, pattern of dangerous radical thinking, including making threats to kill Oregon Governor Kate Brown and displaying a, quote, terrifying amount of racist rhetoric. Williams is due in court on October 7th. A white teacher within Louisiana's Lafayette Parish School District is under investigation for a Facebook post where she used the N-word. In a post on the What's Going On in Academia Facebook group, Osun Elementary educator Julie Colley expressed her disappointment with a back-to-school giveaway being held in, quote, N-wordville. Lafayette Parish School System Public Information Officer Allison Dickerson announced that an investigation has been launched. A white woman has been charged with an assault after she tried to prevent a black child from entering a community swimming pool. The child's mother, Heather J. Brown, posted a video on TikTok showing her son attempting to access the pool area when the woman is seen pushing the child in a bid to block him from entering. When Brown reported the incident to the police, the unidentified woman told the investigating officer that Brown had attacked her. However, someone else at the pool recorded the interaction, saying that the woman has a history of singling out children, quote, who aren't white. The woman has been charged with misdemeanor assault on a minor aged under 12 and has a court hearing set for August 20th. A white man who shot into a car full of black teenage girls after a Trump rally in Des Moines, Iowa, was sentenced up to 10 years in prison. Michael McKinney, age 26, pled guilty in June to intimidations with a dangerous weapon and willful injury in the December 6th shooting he perpetrated after attending a Trump rally near the state capitol. McKinney, who served in the U.S. Army and was wearing body armor and carrying several guns, shot into the vehicle and hit a then 15-year-old girl in the leg. He claims he felt he was in danger and therefore protected himself. In court, he apologized to the girl and said that he used poor judgment on that day.
I would agree with that.
A white man in Florida was arrested Sunday after he allegedly attacked a black man, threw up a Nazi salute, and threatened a mass shooting during a road rage attack. Jordan Patrick Leahy. What is it with all the three named racists this week?
That's what the media does. When it's a white male, they always throw out the middle name.
So Jordan Patrick Leahy, age 28, allegedly sideswiped a car driven by a black man. As he drove by, Leahy threw up the Nazi salute and gestured his hands in a way to suggest that he was shooting at him. Leahy then reportedly got out of his car in an aggressive manner and punched the black man in the face. Deputies also said in their report that Leahy said, "Y'all need to control them," before making racist comments about black people multiple times. When the cops arrested him, Leahy said that he wanted to carry out a mass shooting of 70 to 80 people. Law enforcement also said he claimed he is a sheltered white citizen and that society needs to be concerned how easily he could conduct a mass shooting. Leahy is facing charges of threatening communications or threats of mass shooting, felony battery, and driving under the influence, including property damage. His actions are considered to be a hate crime. And in a This Week in Racism first, Brian, we're going to head down to a little place we call Pronunciation Station. Media went wild last week when it appeared a Coors Field fan had shouted the N-word repeatedly at Miami Marlins outfielder Lewis Brinson. After a quick investigation, the Colorado Rockies announced that the fan was actually calling out to their mascot, who is named Dinger. Might look to change that. And then less than 24 hours later, ESPN's Antoinetta Collins was reading through a SportsCenter highlight when she attempted to use the word dinger to describe a home run by Albert Pujols.
His two-run dinger in the second inning was a thing of...
Afterwards, no. Collins wrote on Instagram, "It was dinger. I said digger by mistake." Nope. I would never say that.
I don't know about that. I think she may believe that she wouldn't say it on the air or whatnot, but that sounded like the N-word.
And before we wrap up, we've got one story in Racism Rewind. And last week we talked about how Michigan police pulled their guns on a black real estate agent, a potential home buyer, and his 15-year-old son as they were touring a house that was for sale. This week, to no one's surprise, the Wyoming Public Safety Department completed an internal review and concluded that race played no factor in the situation and their officers responded appropriately. And that, Brian, is This Week in Racism.
Wow. Some terrible behavior, but not the worst. I feel like we've had much worse weeks in racism.
Not the worst, not the best. We can only hope. We can only hope that it gets better.
Yeah, a reminder of just the fact that it's an ugly country that we live in for a lot of people. But it's not the worst week. You know, there's times where I want to hang my head down and cry. This is not one of them.
And I even kept it under 9 minutes, Brian, 8:57, even with your interruptions.
With two interruptions. That's how you know it wasn't a bad week. That's how you know it wasn't a bad week for racism, Ron.
All right. But it was a week where we had some beefs. It's Beef of the Week.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
If you don't mind, Brian, I'm going to go first this week. My beef, Brian, is with Uber Eats, to be specific. We ordered some lunch the other day. We ordered some hoagies, Brian.
What was that? What did you order again?
Hoagies. We wanted a couple of hoagies. So anyway, you know how you can see in the app how the driver is going to get your food? Tells you how
much. No, actually, excuse me. I don't know. I've never done Uber Eats.
Really?
I don't believe in it. I do not believe in Uber Eats. I don't believe in, what is the other one? Not Grubhub. Yeah, Dord. I don't believe in it. I believe, let you talk first. Right. Complain about your white privilege. You go first.
I see that the Uber driver has gotten to the hoagie shop and is sitting there waiting for my order. And time goes by, 5, 6, 7 minutes goes by. And then I look at the app again and I see the driver's gone. And now they don't have my food. Now another driver is heading to the hoagie shop. So a second Uber driver gets to the hoagie shop and is waiting there. And still they leave. So now there's still no driver there. Can't get a hold of anyone at the restaurant. So I like, you know, try and use the support thing in the Uber app. And it's, of course, automated at first. And I'm like, yeah, my order's late. And they're like, oh, you know, COVID and restaurants are shorthanded and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, this is a little, thinking to myself, this is a little different situation. Like, they're like, oh, we'll give you 20% to keep waiting, 20% off to keep waiting, or you can cancel your order. And I'm like, well, I don't care if I get 20% off, because you'll probably just screw the restaurant owner out of that. I'm like, right. I just want to know if my food's coming. So finally, like, puts you through to like a live support person. And I'm like, listen, here's the deal. Two drivers have been there and left. Like, I just want to know if they're going to make the order. And if the next person that's going is going to pick it up. And, you know, whatever. And so literally the live chat agent gives me the same canned response of, well, you know, it's COVID. It is this. It is that.
Did they say COVID or COVID? Because you're saying COVID.
COVID's holding up your hoogie.
You're calling it a COVID, and it's COVID. COVID.
So anyway.
COVID. It's COVID related.
COVID.
Water ice. So water ice, Jerry.
Gives me the same canned response and offers me 20% off if I'm going to wait. And I'm like, listen, I don't want to wait. I don't want a canned response. I can't get a hold of the restaurant. If you can get a hold of the restaurant and they're going to make the order. And they literally said, well, I've done all I can do. Thanks for being a gold member. Goodbye. And then just, so I ended up canceling the order and like driving somewhere to get a hoagie. And there's a lot of questions going on here, which we need to address, such as, how do I say bagel? It's just a bagel. But when you're in Philly, it's a hoagie. You have a hoagie with some water ice. How far was the restaurant from me? Not within walking or bicycling distance. And I had just gotten back from vacation. So I didn't feel that we were doing stuff around the house. Didn't want to run out and get anything. And yes, Billy, would have been much quicker if I had just gone to get it myself. All valid questions. Again, this is very much a first world problem, but it's my beef of the week.
And can I ask one question?
Were
your hoagies warm or were they cold? Are we talking a cold sandwich or are we talking a hot sandwich?
They were both cold sandwiches.
Okay. So so it's not as if it's getting cold and ruining and the bread is soaking up the fat grease from your Philly cheesesteaks. Granted. My issue with the Uber Eats and the DoorDash is that these are independent contractors who are not employees of anyone. So that if they are not picking up an order and delivering it, they are making $0. They're not employees of the restaurants. The restaurants are actually getting free delivery. They're not paying for it whatsoever. You're now paying for it. So instead of the days where a restaurant employed a delivery person to make deliveries of the food orders, now the burden is on the customer for that delivery.
If the restaurant's partnered with Uber Eats or DoorDash, they are also paying the company.
They're paying for a portion of it, but you're also paying a delivery fee. You're now expected for the tip. You're technically probably paying more to the delivery person than Uber Eats is, because they're probably paying pennies on the mile. It's just a terrible slide in the American economy away from being a jobs creator towards enslaving the poor.
I agree with you. And typically we will not utilize them. We'll go direct. But I think the challenge is when you live in the suburbs, you have fewer delivery options than when you live in a major city like you do, Brian.
Ron, you just bragged that you are a gold member on Uber Eats, so do not backtrack, lie, and pretend that you don't do this.
What level are you on Uber, my friend?
What is just below diamond? Platinum?
I believe so.
Yeah, I think I'm platinum.
Okay. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah. Uber carries through both.
But that's because I take cabs. I do not do the Uber Eats, Jerry. Uber. Now, how do I find out what level I'm at?
You go into your Uber and click into rewards.
rewards.
And a great comment here. If you want to become famous by followers, primes, and viewers on a very bogus bogus website, so ignore that.
Our first spam comment.
So what is this? You've got like 5,007 points. That's what does it say? I can't even see.
That's Uber Platinum. See where it says Platinum?
You are Platinum, my friend.
Since March, I've got 1,722 points, and I'm on my way towards Diamond if I can get to 7,500. Sure. I will say this. Living in New York City, during a pandemic, there were very few yellow taxi cabs. A lot of people weren't very comfortable in yellow taxi cabs over the past year. Also, as many of the lovely fans of the podcast are well aware, that I recently had a knee surgery, which precluded me for about a week and a half from taking public transportation.
So therefore, I'm hearing you correctly. You are okay with helping in devaluing all of those taxi cab medallions that the hardworking men and women of New York City own out there.
Fuck the New York City Taxi and Limousine Commission. They made they limited the number of medallions. They drove up artificially the price of a medallion for a yellow cab. And then once the price hit over $1 million, they opened up the city to as many people that wanted to drive for Uber, as many people that wanted to drive for Lyft. And now there's more people driving cabs, for lack of a better word, than there are actual people driving in New York City.
All right. Brian, what's your beef this week?
My beef is myself this week. I'm going to take the hit. Normally, beef of the week is an external looking out. What is a problem I had in the world? This week, my problem was internal. This was, and I'm going to call this, and it might be a fancy business term, inventory management, or my lack thereof.
All right.
One of the rules that I like to play is when I take the last thing of something, I should have already ordered a replacement batch of that, whether it's pens, napkins, toilet paper.
Okay.
Obviously, I don't have a bidet. But Rod, you know how much I enjoy next level hydrogen water, correct?
Oh, I know. Listen, it's the best hydrogen water on the market right now.
It's so good. The four C's. I mean, I have been depending on next level hydrogen water to aid in my recovery from my meniscus surgery. Earlier today, I was prepping for the podcast. I decided to take out one of these cans of next level. And I realized that it was my last one and that I'm not going to be able to drink one tomorrow.
That's a damn shame.
This is a problem, not only because this is a delicious can of water, but also all of the health benefits that go along with it. Right here, next level. And, you know, with the new cans that are out, they actually have Manny Pacquiao, who is the corporate
partner in the sponsor.
He's now. Yes, he is. And, you know, I don't live in the Midwest, so I'm not able to go to a store and get it. But I had to place it.
Get it?
I feel like it's time to move on, Ron.
All right. Well, if you do need some next level hydrogen water, as always, go to Ron and Brian Podcast on Instagram. You can find the link on ronandbrianpodcast.com. And in our bio, you will see links to our store where you can get some of that next level. Of course, next level is also connected to our favorite stonk.
Stonks.
And as we've been pushing Labor Smart under the ticket LTNC, if you were smart enough to listen to us earlier this week to get in on the dip, on they closed last week at under a penny. They're at 0.0065. They shot up 225% this week, closing this Friday at almost a penny and a half. So it is making a rebound. They got a distribution deal. They are making some moves. So again, you could have more than doubled your money had you listened to us and put your money into LTNC. Brian, I know you.
I made over $1,000 earlier this week just based on Labor Smart, just based on that distribution deal. Now, I didn't make it. As you once very wisely said to me, money is neither lost nor won in the stock market until you actually sell. The value of my Labor Smart stock is now worth more than $1,000 than it was just simply a week ago.
There you go. Billy asks if you need to be vaccinated to get Next Level. You do not. But interestingly enough, Next Level combined with a vaccine, even the J&J vaccine, has shown to be very effective against the Delta variant.
Yeah. But clearly, if you're combining the Moderna,
the gold standard,
with Next Level, I mean, all your bodily aches and pains will go away. Those claims have not been vetted by the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration. They have not.
But speaking of Moderna,
the gold standard.
Thank you. It was revealed in two reports this past week that Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine may be more effective against the Delta variant than Pfizer. They did some testing.
The silver standard.
They did some testing. Pfizer vaccine's effectiveness dropped to 42%, down from 76%. And over the same period, the effectiveness of Moderna only fell from 86% to 76%. So still are good, but again, Moderna even better. However,
the gold standard
might need a Moderna booster shot
for gold standard.
We received the Pfizer and Moderna vaccine.
The silver standard.
But again, people say you only say that Moderna is the gold standard.
Gold standard.
Because that's what you guys got. We're not saying it.
First off, it is a HIPAA violation for me to put out into the world which vaccine I received. It's nobody's business.
Right.
However, I will say this, Ron, I walk the streets with my head up high, knowing that the vaccine-generated antibodies that are flowing through my body are literally the best that this world has to offer. I trust my immune system. I trust Moderna.
All right. The Delta strain, by the way, now accounts for about 93% of new infections in the U.S., particularly in southern states. Louisiana currently has the nation's highest infection rate, followed by Florida, Arkansas, Mississippi, Alabama, Oklahoma, and Missouri. As we mentioned earlier in the episode, we are coming up just a few weeks away from our vaccine mandate kicking in on September 12th. As has happened so often, when people see what we are doing, they just blatantly copy it. So concert promoter AEG came out this week. They are behind things like Coachella and the New Orleans Jazz Fest. They say that they're going to require proof of vaccination for all U.S. ticket holders and crew starting October 1st. In addition, Live Nation will require vaccines or negative COVID-19 tests from all artists and concert goers. They're going to start that in early October. I believe October 4th, they're going to start that.
You know, there's a term that we use, market leader. And that is when one entity takes a bold stance, understands that it may not be a popular stance, but knows that it is where everyone needs to be. And then after the market leader, you have what is referred to as followers. When people look back 20 years from now, 40 years from now, 100 years from now, they're going to look at AEG. They're going to say you wanted to protect your people, but you are not a market leader. They're going to look at Live Nation and they're going to say, Live Nation, you wanted to protect your concert goers, your concert performers and crew, but you are not a market leader. They are going to look at the Ron and Brian podcast and say, you gentlemen were market leaders.
Well said. And Billy, I think, just summed it up the best. Ron and Brian, equal influencers.
Is there any way that we could be gold standard influencers? Like, I just feel like
we'll have to work on that. We'll have to work on that. Florida continues to be one of the bigger shit shows in the fight against COVID. This week, we have a story about a Florida COVID-19 patient who died days after giving birth via an emergency C-section.
Do we have a photo? Do you have the photo of her?
I do not have a photo.
Can you get the photo? I think it's very powerful. Is it that much of a pain in the ass to get?
I mean, it's not that much.
Okay, because here's the story. While you're pulling that up, I'll tell you the story. So here's a woman who did not get vaccinated with for COVID. She was very pregnant. There were some reports that the FDA wasn't sure whether pregnant women should get vaccinated or not. This woman did not get vaccinated. Now, there was nothing stopping her. The FDA never said, do not get vaccinated. They just said, we actually haven't... we do not have a large enough test group of women who are pregnant and got exposed to COVID to understand whether the vaccine is harmful in any way, shape, or form. This woman decided not to get vaccinated. She lives in Florida. Right off the bat, look at those lousy, shitty tattoos that she's got there. Clearly, she has been to a Korn concert at least twice in her life. I'm assuming at some point. And Ron, you can check the article. It's usually in the last paragraph, whether it says whether she owns the second Kid Rock album or the third Kid Rock album. Anywho, what is this lady's name?
Kristen McMullen. The photo we have up here is her in the hospital on oxygen. They're holding her daughter, Summer Rain, middle name R-E-I-G-N.
Now, I'm going to tell you this picture brings me so much love and joy because it's a mother who has just given birth. They are bonding. The love between these two is so strong. I have not gone too far. But it makes me feel so good to watch this bonding moment, Ron.
Anyway, she was in the hospital for a couple of weeks, battling pneumonia. Before passing away last Friday. Again, a lot of misinformation out there as to whether pregnant women should get the vaccine. The CDC once again urged all pregnant women to get jabbed, citing data showing that 2,500 women had no increased risk of miscarriage if they received at least one dose of the Pfizer or Moderna vaccine before 20 weeks of pregnancy.
Ron, at this point, may I ask you a very serious question? In all of your internet research on the vaccines, granted, I'm going to even include Johnson & Johnson in this conversation. Is there any group that the vaccines have been shown to be harmful to?
Not in any significant numbers.
People, get vaccinated. Protect yourself. It is not a 100% guarantee, but the statistics show you are going to be much safer, exponentially safer, if you get the vaccine.
Now, also in Florida, three educators in Broward County this week died within about 24 hours of each other from COVID-19 related complication. Two teachers and a teaching assistant, Janice Wright, age 48, a teacher and union leader at Pinewood Elementary School, Yolanda Hudson Williams, 49, a teacher assistant at Dillard Elementary School, and Katina Jones, 49, also a teacher at Dillard Elementary School. Apparently, the one thing all three of them had in common is that they were not vaccinated, which again, with Florida being one of the highest infection rate states right now, with the governor having forbidding mask mandates for school districts and schools having to go back into session. Clearly not safe to be unvaccinated and not wearing a mask while teaching in the schools.
Nacy, this is something I find very interesting about DeSantis, and it's hard for me to take a firm stance on him. He is absolutely against mask mandates. He is absolutely against any type of government lockdown of businesses or society or whatnot, but he is absolutely a proponent of vaccinations. Like right. we are bashing him because of what he's doing. But I have seen interviews with him. I have seen him in press conferences where he is not an anti-vaxxer. He's absolutely getting up there and saying to the people of Florida that the best way for them to protect themselves is for them to get vaccinated.
Yeah, and he's definitely not against vaccinations, but I don't get why he is against school districts mandating masks, especially since there is such a large population of kids that either are not of an age that can get the vaccine or just haven't been able to get the vaccine yet. It's a little ridiculous.
He backed himself into a corner, and if he were to change his anti-mask
stance,
then suddenly he loses his ability to run for president in 2024.
Very good. Not just in Florida, but we are seeing thousands of students being forced into quarantine due to COVID exposure just days into the new year. A review of local media reports by the Washington Post has found that more than 10,000 students and staff members across 14 states have been exposed to the coronavirus since school started. Close to 4,400 students in Mississippi, where Governor Tate Reeves has refused to issue a mask mandate, have been quarantined after at least 800 tested positive for COVID in the start of the school year. One district in the state has already suspended all in-person teaching after ordering 40% of its total student population into quarantine. More than 1,000 students in Palm Beach County, Florida, were also sent home to quarantine by the end of the first week of school after 134 cases of COVID were detected. In New Orleans, which has a mask mandate for public schools, 638 students were quarantined. Crenshaw County Schools in South Carolina quarantined 600 students after 130 COVID cases. And then a Reno parent sent their child to school this week, even after the student tested positive for COVID, and 80 others were exposed. Some 1,300 students and a total of 4,000 in a school district were also in quarantine in Marion, Arkansas, after 106 staff and students tested positive for COVID.
Fucking shame. So much.
Is that the CDC calling you, thanking you for your work?
No, that's a politically correct police coming after me for mocking that woman's death.
That would make sense. That would make sense. But again, it is sad and it is shameful that as a country we have not taken the time. You know, we are 18 months into this pandemic almost at this point, and we have yet to find a way to protect the most fragile people in our society, students that are being forced into these schools and with little to no protection.
Even this woman that died, I mean, like, all joking aside, you know me, I like to joke about shit. I mean, that's a horrible story.
Yes.
That's just a fucking horrible story. This lady, this kid's going to grow up without a mother.
This is also a horrible story, horrible in a different way. A German nurse is being investigated for allegedly injecting thousands of people with a placebo instead of the coronavirus vaccine. Based on witness testimony, a police investigator said that there was a reasonable suspicion that she had administered saline shots to up to 8,600 patients who were slated to receive the COVID vaccine.
This lady, that's fucked.
Yeah.
That's just fucked. And I mean, obviously there's a crime there. I don't know what the rules are. I mean, Germany plays a little, you know, loosey goosey with the forced medical procedures. You can ask my grandparents on that one. But I would just have to say that, people going in for a vaccine who feel that they're coming out safer and they've got saline shooting through their veins. That's not even, what would you call that? What kind of standard is that?
That's even lower than J&J.
Would you say that they got the is that the H2O standard?
I mean, I think they got the meth standard is what they got.
That's terrible. That's just terrible. I mean, people are walking around feeling that they are protected, that they should feel safer, and it's just not the case.
Brian, got a question for you. What are you watching?
Last week you talked about The Suicide Squad.
Yes.
On HBO Max, so I watched it. Quite possibly one of the worst things I have seen in at least 5 years.
Really?
It was simply terrible. You are absolutely correct. I did not need to go and watch Suicide Squad, the original. However, this movie, and listen, I think that one of the takeaways from this that we should all be aware of is that when I am wrong, I will be the first to admit I am wrong. Okay. I am no longer Team DC. After watching this movie, I realized that Marvel movies are significantly better than DC comic movies. This was terrible. None of the characters I found interesting. The story was beyond weak. There was not even enough to take seriously to actually feel like it was a drama. Who are the Idris Elba with his? It was terrible. That was terrible. Can you remind me what you liked about it?
I found it entertaining. I mean, just, you know, it's one opinion against another. That's fine.
That must just be too many hoogies. Too many hoogies. Okay.
Then
I saw one more. Let me just finish one more. Right. I saw it on Amazon Prime. I watched the documentary Thou on Val Kilmer, which I do recommend for people.
Okay.
I've always treated Val Kilmer as a Hollywood pretty boy. Who was really not much of an actor, but who basically wrote a pretty face to a celebrity. There's a lot of layers to this man. Recently he had a bout with throat cancer, lost his ability to speak. He is breathing now through a breathing hole. Definitely the challenges, but even coming up, I mean, he was part of the Juilliard School.
I believe you're right. Yes.
He went to Juilliard as a student, went to school with Kelly McGillis, who also was at Juilliard. Wanted to be a serious actor in, doing Broadway, doing theater. Then Hollywood came across him, and one of his first big role was in Weird Science, not Weird Science. What was no, the
crap? Yeah, Top Secret. No, Genius.
Real Genius, which was a terrible movie, but he was the pretty boy face, and that immediately planted him into Top Gun, where from Top Gun, he was just suddenly Val Kilmer. He did Batman. What I found interesting, I give him a lot of respect for it, was that he walked away from the role of Batman.
He did.
He said that it was every boy's dream growing up as a kid to be Batman. And when he was given the opportunity to be, he sat there and said that he was the third lead of the movie, that Tommy Lee Jones had such a character, that Jim Carrey had such a an outwardly character that for him, he had to play it straight. He had to play it where he was keeping the dialogue going for those guys to act, and walked away from the role to do a lot of shitty roles. So I watched it. It was very interesting.
Good in Heat. That was a great movie.
Oh yeah, but everybody was good in Heat. But like there were no bad roles. Heat is one of my favorite movies.
Yes, I would agree with you on that.
Ron?
Yes.
What are you watching?
So I caught episode number one of the new Marvel show on Disney Plus, What If? It's an animated series, Brian. I know how much you love animation.
Yeah, I don't really.
I liked it. I thought it was interesting. It'll have me coming back for a second episode.
Should I watch it?
No, you should not.
Okay, thank you.
You will have no. I will say this is probably more for the people that are really into the Marvel comic books and movies. I don't. Again, you may want to check it out just to see, but I don't think you'll have any connection to it whatsoever.
Will this tie into anything else in the Marvel verse?
It will not, because it basically, you know, tells stories about how things could have happened but didn't really happen.
Are these characters that I'm familiar with?
Depending on the episode, you'll probably recognize a couple of them.
Okay.
But I do not think I will say this. I will go on record as saying that you will probably, if you watch it, you would like it less than the Suicide Squad.
Okay. Got it. Then I'm going to take a pass on it.
All right. I also started watching American Horror Stories on Hulu. This is a spinoff of American Horror Story. Rather than doing like a full season on one story, they do individual episodes kind of based within the American Horror Story universe, if you will. So some of the characters pop up. Some of the like the first couple episodes are based in the murder house from season one of American Horror Story. Decent. I would give it a watch if you like American Horror Story. I watched episode one of the new J.J. Abrams docuseries about UFOs on Showtime. I would say, meh, it was all right. I'll probably go back and catch the other episodes, but it wasn't a must. Okay. But probably the best thing I watched this week was on Netflix, the sports documentary Malice at the Palace, about the fight at the Detroit Pistons Indiana Pacers game. What was that, in 2004? Resulted in Ron Artest going up into the stands fighting a fan. I think Steven Jackson punched someone. Jermaine O'Neal hit a fan as well. Brian, I believe you watched it as well.
Yes, you asked me if I had watched it. And usually when you say, hey, have you watched this, is when that's your polite nudge in saying, hey, I would like to talk about this Sunday night. So can you please watch it between now and then? I did watch it probably, I would say, within a couple hours of you suggesting it. Really well done.
Yes.
It is, having been a sports fan during the time that happened, obviously people woke up the next morning to hear that there was a big fight at a basketball game. The narrative immediately made the fans into saints, made the players into demons. They were referred to as thugs, overpaid criminals and whatnot. What I felt this documentary did very strongly was to put yourself in, it allowed you to see what was going on from the player's perspective at the time, and to realize that in the moment, the fans were behaving in ways that fans should not in a sporting event. At no time is it okay to chuck your beverage at an athlete simply because they're playing and you don't like the way they were playing. They showed footage of fans, after the fight had broken out, of fans running down the stands onto the court, threatening to punch players. And then when they were punched in return, to suddenly automatically play victim and say, oh, I'm going to sue for a lot of money. This is my paycheck. That was just a bad situation that a lot of people could have behaved better in and not have created such a terrible occurrence. But just a lot of people behaving badly, and it just exacerbated the situation. I was actually really glad that you turned me on to that. I'm not sure that I would have even noticed it.
Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, I think it was, it was nice that they didn't try and spread it out too long. I think it was a good length. It was interesting to, back then was when I was watching the NBA more than I was now. And you forget how good a team they had assembled in Indiana. They really were championship contenders in 2004. And, you know, because of this situation, because, you know, Ron Artest gets suspended for the season and Steven Jackson got 30 games and Jermaine O'Neal got 25, which I think his got reduced. But I think it did a very good job of like showing how the team was brought together and talking to the players. And Ron Artest was very, like, I think very candid about his mental health issues and I think his immaturity at the time. I think he admitted to a lot of the problems that he created. I think Steven Jackson as well, you know, really owned up to, you know, the problems that they brought to the team. But yeah, to your point, you know, I mean, you look at now when, you know, a fan throws something at a player, like they're just automatically ejected. Like it's a totally different look at things now than it was, you know, this was what, 17 years ago. It was also interesting, you know, you saw what happened to the players after this happened. But, you know, from a national news perspective, I don't know that you really saw what happened to the fans. And so it also goes into the prosecutor there in Detroit and how, you know, what they did to really track down and prosecute as many of these fans as possible, including the one guy, I forget his name, who threw the cup of beer that really started everything.
Jim Jones.
Was it Jim Jones? All right. Might have been. Yes. But again, he in interviews that they had with him, you know, after the fact, like showed no remorse whatsoever, joked about it. There was another gentleman who had gone out onto the court and like approached Ron Artest with a closed fist and Artest just, you know, basically slugged him one.
Sure.
You also came to find out that that guy was going to be pulled out by security that night and lose the season tickets. So it's like
before the game started.
So you mentioned how the narrative got spun to blaming the NBA players, but never really focused on, you know, the fans' contribution to it. But I think they did a great job of like building, even though you knew what was going to happen during that game, it really did a great job of building the tension up to the point where it happened. Are you enjoying your beverage and your Stonk Investor mug?
The water in this is really good, but it's not as good as next level hydrogen water.
So, Brian,
four C's. Yes. Oh, sorry.
What's going on in Afghanistan right now?
Well, apparently, and I don't keep up very much on international news, but I would get a sense from just the small passings that I've seen that Donald Trump announced last year as he was closing out his administration that he was going to be ordering the pullout of all American troops from Afghanistan. Now, this is a country that after 9/11, the Taliban were in power of Afghanistan. They were harboring Al-Qaeda terrorists. The United States sent in special forces, routed the Taliban, who immediately gave up fighting, fell back, worked their way into greater Afghanistan society. And I don't know if you can really say greater Afghanistan society. However, for the past 20 years, America and other European powers, I guess you could call it, have pumped tens of billions of dollars. I don't know if it's hundreds of billions of dollars we have spent propping up an Afghanistani government so that they can push away the influx of Taliban. With Trump's order of pulling out, Biden came into power, did the right thing, in my opinion, and ordered that the pullout continue, did not reverse course. American troops are being returned to a safer place than Afghanistan, whether it's home, whether it's Europe, whatnot. However, as a result of that, the Taliban, despite saying, hey, we're not going to overrun the country, if America pulls out, we're going to simply, hey, we're just going to go into talks with the government. We'll find a peaceful intermediary government. No, the Taliban just basically said, fuck that shit. We're going to take back the country. So within hours of American troops pulling out Afghanistan, government is falling to the Taliban. Earlier today, the capital fell, Kabul.
Yes.
Fell. The Taliban are now back in power in Afghanistan. Everybody on the right is absolutely having a shit fit because Joe Biden is allowing it to happen. And what I feel is probably the saddest part of all of this are the American veterans who have spent time in Afghanistan over the past 20 years, who are now wondering, what on earth did I accomplish by going there? What on earth did my brethren accomplish by dying there, by being injured there? What did we do all of this for? There are no good answers. It's a sad state.
It is. And like you said, the capital fell, the president, Ashraf Ghani, fled the country. So basically, within 72 hours, the Taliban took over the entire country again. Which,
yeah,
I think was no surprise. And I think, it was always a situation of, when we got as involved in the Middle East as we did, people were like, you're never going to have peace there, regardless right. of who you train, who you put into power. And we saw that. Well, I didn't think it was happen this quickly, but clearly the Taliban said, let's strike while the iron's hot. Let's get in there. Let's take over the country again.
There wasn't peace before the Taliban. There wasn't peace before that government. Before that government, but that is a part of the world in Afghanistan where there has never been a powerful centralized government. There has never been a sense of unity amongst the clans that live there. Plenty of global powers have decided to go in there and try to make it their own, put in puppet governments. We all had Karzai. What was that guy's name? He was the puppet that we put in there who decided that he wanted to. Just think of it. Say we spent $50 billion propping up the Afghani government. And right now we can honestly say we achieved nothing there. We got no return on investment. Imagine if we had spent that $50 billion on infrastructure.
Right.
Imagine if we had spent that on our education system. We would have gotten some. It's the argument that I always, that drives me crazy is when somebody in the government or some policy person sits there and says, the money's not there. We can't afford it or whatnot. No, the money is always there. We are just choosing to pay for that. We're going to spend it somewhere else. In so many cases, we're spending it in areas that are not helping us, but are, just fitting it. And I just feel like after 20 years, it's time to walk away from Afghanistan.
Yeah, you just pretty much leave it and try and, protect the surrounding areas as much as possible. But yeah, it's a shame. Horatio Sands had a bad week as well, being named in a lawsuit which alleges that he groomed and sexually assaulted an underage fan. The unnamed Pennsylvania woman, first met Sands at age 15 when he was 31 years old in 2000 after he invited her to a taping of the sketch comedy show. They remained in contact for a couple of years. When she was 17, she was running an SNL fan site in May of 2002 when Sands allegedly took her on a limo ride, then basically inappropriately touched her at a post-show party. The next year, he invited her to several after-show parties where he allowed her to drink, touched her inappropriately, and told her to sit on his lap, according to the lawsuit. Kind of shocking. He always seemed like this nice guy. There seems to be text messages.
Good candy bar. Whatchamacallit.
So we will follow that. And
I always liked him. I thought he had some good characters, but the woman has, she's got a very damning story, which was the fact that she was in high school, clearly under 18, under 21. She was at after parties for Saturday Night Live. She was drinking in front of Jimmy Fallon, drinking in front of Lorne Michaels. None of these people did anything to stop an underage girl from seemingly inappropriate touching by a grown man. I mean, it's kind of icky. Not going to lie. There's some ick.
Also icky, but going away, your governor, Andrew Cuomo, announcing this week that he is going to resign after the attorney general's report showed that he sexually assaulted 11 women. I don't know, sexually assaulted. What's the word I'm looking for? Yeah, I think assault is probably the best way to put it.
Yeah, no. There was he sexually harassed some women. Other women said no. It actually crossed. It went beyond that. There are women who said that his hand brushed up against their buttocks. There's women who said that he put his hand up their shirt and cupped their breast over a brassiere. And there's women that said that he asked inappropriate questions as their employment supervisor in regards to a dating relationship. I think he needed to go.
All right. And he will go. I think he's got, one more week left before he officially steps down. And then the Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul. Is that how you say the last name?
Yep. Sure. Why not? She's from Buffalo.
She will become the first female governor in New York history. And already is the odds-on favorite to win the next governor primary.
Well, I mean, I don't know anything about her. Let's see. I believe Chris Cuomo has announced that he is interested in running for office.
Has he now?
Yeah. That would be no. Scary. I'm making that up. I made that up.
All right, fair enough. All right, and I guess one last thing, Brian. You said you want me to answer the internet, so let's take it.
One of the things that we absolutely love on this show, thanks to Barstool Sports, their Answer the Internet account online, asked just some general rules. I like to put them to Ron because I like any type of insight into this man's brain, the way he thinks or whatnot. Ron, are you prepared to answer the internet this week?
As much as I always am.
Ron, how long do you think it would take you to eat your body weight in hot dogs?
To eat my body.
The general rule is that 10 hot dogs per pound is the actual weight of a is what we're talking about. So you have to eat your weight in hot dogs. How long will it take you?
I mean, I gotta say it takes me at least.
Now keep in mind, you will be able to drink whatever you need
right.
to stay hydrated, but you cannot eat anything else. This isn't like only a meal, but you'll be able to eat healthy breakfast and lunch. No, just hot dogs.
I mean, I think that's a lot because you're talking over 2,000 hot dogs, if that's what you're saying.
Yes.
So I think I would say let's go 3 weeks would probably take me that long.
Okay,
averaging like 100 hot dogs a day, which is
that's a lot.
I may have to push that to a month at the least.
Yeah, I was going to say 6 weeks is a much more realistic term.
Yeah,
you I mean that's a lot of salt. It's just going to fill you up and whatnot. And it doesn't take into account what kind of condiments you're going to use.
It's very true. Although I'm a ketchup man. I know a lot of people will mock me for that, but I do ketchup on my hot dogs.
What?
Yep, I do.
I thought you would have been a Dijon mustard.
No, not at all. I'm not a huge mustard fan in general. I'd like it on some things.
Really?
Definitely not. I mean, on a nice bratwurst, yeah. Give me a nice spicy mustard. But yeah, hot dogs, I get mocked for it, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, ketchup, I think, goes with fries when you're out in public.
All right, that's fair. I'm not gonna.
I'm not a big ketchup person at home. I think I have some, but I can't really say that I use it too much.
All right, before we get out of here, just a few reminders. We do have that living room comedy show with Dave Hill taking place in my living room here in Elkins Park, Pennsylvania, on Friday, October 22nd. Doors at 7, show at 8. Tickets are going quickly. As a reminder, you go to ronandbrianpodcast.com. If you click on the link to go to our Instagram page, there is also a link in our bio for you to get tickets for Dave Hill, as well as that link for you to order some Next Level water. Of course, we are having our vaccine mandate, which kicks in on Sunday, September 12th. So again, either have your J&J shot or shot one of Pfizer or Moderna by then to be able to continue listening or watching to the podcast. And if you want to become a patron, go to ronandbrianpodcast.com, click in the upper right-hand corner to join our Patreon. Bronze level or higher gets to join us for our live After Dark program, which will start in about 20 minutes. So there's still time. In addition
there to is time. Yes, there is.
Perks and things like that, you get access to Ron and Brian After Dark. That's an excellent question, Billy. We might have to have some Next Level available at the show. We will definitely work on that. I can guarantee you we will have some of the Next Level energy shot available at the show. We will see if we can get the hydrogen water available as well. So we have to go get ready for After Dark. So Patreon folks know that we are getting ready to entertain you in just about 19 minutes now. Brian, anything additional before we wrap this up and head on over to After Dark?
Absolutely not. Let's go behind the paywall. We have some spicy stories. We have salacious stories. We have sexy stories, things that should not be for the general public, but are only for those that are willing to understand that some things are belong behind the curtain, green curtain.
All right. So Patreon folks, we will see you shortly. Everyone else, we will see you next week.
Thank you for joining us on the Ron and Brian podcast. We're live each week on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. You can find prior episodes, links to our social media, and everything else Ron and Brian at ronandbrianpodcast.com. See you again next week.